Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we'll be joining Dr. Debbie Green as she again shares with us some insight. Do you have a habit of speaking against yourself or not acknowledging your accomplishments? Do you find it difficult to ask for help and rather suffer than to reach out to others for assistance? Do you find yourself in broken relationships one after another, blaming others and not looking at yourself? Do you seek vengeance toward others but only hurting yourself in the end? If you answer yes to one or more of these questions, you may be suffering from self-sabotage syndrome. This habit is a mindset and is very destructive and may lead to suicidal depression and anxiety. So we're joining Dr. Debbie Green to discuss this matter in full and learn strategies and solutions to heal from an uncomfortable time in your life and in return to enjoying it. So welcome, Dr. Debbie Green.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Naima. How are you?
I am fantastic, blessed, and grateful.
Yes,
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
That was a beautiful.
Look
at the wonderful time to be alive.
Yes, it
is. You know,
is.
Saying there's so much chaos in the world, so we have to choose, okay?
We have to choose.
You have to choose. You have to choose to live your life like it's your last day. You
That's
know,
right.
Live it to the fullest.
That is
That's
right.
That's what I said, right?
Yes.
You might as well. What do you have to lose? Nothing.
Nothing to lose. And
you
since
know,
you don't know when your last day is, it's
that's
best
right.
to live
that's
it like.
That's right. That's why you, I think day. Ray Charles said that best before he passed away. He said, live every day like your last, because one day it will be.
Mm.
You know? Mm. And so, you know, that means you don't waste this. There it is. That breath.
Don't waste
you
the breath.
Know, it's a gift.
That's
you
right.
know, it is a gift. A friend of mine once told me, he said, the past is history, and, the future is a mystery, and today is the present. That's why it's called a gift.
I like that. Yes.
Yes. That's what Morris, I'm going to quote Morris on our Atlanta Jazz channel. I'm just giving him a shout-out this morning because he is such an inspiration to a lot of people. When he actually just, he gets on and he plays his music, but he also gives them something to mentally chew on, and that's what I like about him. Absolutely. All right. Okay. So I tell you what, this topic is a very sensitive topic because a lot of people are doing it.
And they don't even realize it.
I mean, a lot of people. I'm not just talking about a handful. I'm talking about people. And some people, they do it and not even realize they do it, not even. They do it because they're so comfortable in that habitual type of, you know, self-defeating process, you know. And the thing about this is, you know, because self-esteem, self-worth, self-value, all of those selves play a big role in how we apply ourselves to this thing called life. Because life is an application. And I'm not talking about something you just fill out, okay? I'm talking about something you live.
Mm.
You live by applicating your life every single moment of today. And if you think about this, when you wake up, you are applicating. Because guess what? You do the habitual thing, get up, brush your teeth, you know, take a bath or whatever your habitual routine is, okay? You're applying those same styles of thinking habitually, repetitively, every single day.
Yeah.
So let's just say you have this, you know, mindset of self-sabotaging every day.
Where does that come from? What is the origins of that? And I noticed you mentioned when people, and this is probably very common, when you say negative things to yourself, where is that voice coming from? Is that a replay of maybe a parent's voice, a teacher's voice, somebody that put you down all the time, and it's in your head, and now you're repeating it? Where does that come from, doing that?
Well, the thing about this is the ego defense mechanisms, especially ego part of our brain, is very sensitive. Again, we go back to childhood trauma, but, you know, when we were children, you know, as we grew up, you know, if we've ever heard a unsettling word of like, you know, why'd you do that? That was stupid. That was dumb. You'll never get anything right. You always doing something bad, you know, and that's just the soft surface, hard verbal assault. But then when you go into deeper ones, like, you know, I wish I'd never had you, you're not worth anything, you know what I'm saying? You know, I cursed the day that you were born.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
And then that fear intensely gets inside your being, and then it attracts other fear, which is if you were bullied in high school, if you felt a teacher didn't like you, if you felt you couldn't get along with your peers because you wasn't good enough, then it starts to follow you. It follows you through school all the way into college, and then you start experiencing like maybe I am what they say. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not, you know, no one notices me. Maybe I don't need to be alive.
Wow.
And you go through this early in life. So as this time, as you continue to think this way, Naima, over and over again, then this is when depression starts knocking at the doors of your mind, you know, because think about it. That means you're oppressed because you're not thinking with a juvenile, life, joyful type of, you know, thought process. So you are constantly going into those corridors of darkness, you know. And again, is it your fault? There's a good chance it's not, you know. But as you get older, at some point that you should realize that you can make a choice to feel what you feel for yourself. Now, if this does not happen, of course, you continue to feel the low self-esteem, low self-worth, leading to, again, depression, sickness, stressful, pressured type of life. And that's when self-sabotage, self-defeat, and self-destruction is your best friend. Because that's all you know.
So unless you somehow awaken to the reality that anything negative said about you is untrue,
right,
then you just continue to perpetuate the belief that there's something wrong with
it. Right. Because, see, fear, we are conductors in the universe. Whether we realize it or not, we conduct whatever's inside of us, whatever our brain waves are going outward with, you know, like if a person walks in a room and they are afraid, they're fearful, and, you know, they're stricken with some heavy anxiety because they have low self-esteem. They don't want any, they already think people are staring at them or they're out of place. And nothing's happening, okay? But that's the way their mind is. So here comes, you know, a very unusual circumstance that just out of the blue that makes them really feel that intensely. Somebody may stare at them, or they're looking at me, and then, you know, I'm not, and it is looking, you know.
Yeah, I see that. You know, people will be ready to fight.
Assuming that this person doesn't like them because, of, remember, they got fear. They're fear-based thinking.
Mm.
When you have a fear mentality, you're going to think fearfully in everything you do. I'm not going to accomplish this goal. I'm not going to pass this test. You know, the people on my job won't like me. And it goes on and on and on and on.
Mm.
Because you're self-sabotaging. You're self-sabotaging. That's self-sabotaging already pronouncedly thinking the worst in a situation when you have no
reason
type of evidence.
So,
okay.
So you're projecting
the
worst, and then it happens.
Yes, you think the worst in all situations. So when you really do need help, you know, you really need help to adjust those thought processes to more healthy processes. But remember, you've been thinking like this all your life.
Mm.
So you think this is normal.
Wow.
And it's so, I don't want to say sad because I don't sympathize with people. I empathize with it because I've seen people with this in my practice that, you know, they have the lowest self-esteem. And they could have, and you know, these are high achievers now. Okay, don't get it twisted. They're high achievers.
But on the inside, they don't feel good about it. They don't feel good about themselves. No matter what they achieve, it's not enough, and they don't feel good about themselves.
Correct.
So when we see some of these high-profile people that suddenly commit suicide,
where
was their mind?
There you go.
I mean, everybody admired them. Everybody loved them. Everybody wished they were like them. What were they seeing in themselves that made them think their life wasn't worthwhile?
No value. Think about it. Nothing. If one values itself, it would never hurt itself.
Right. Right.
So they lost the value of self.
Mm.
They lost the love of self. It was displaced. It was not achieved in life. Even though they were growing, achieving all kinds of things on the outside world. The outside
inside.
World, listen to me carefully. I have counseled doctors, lawyers, psychologist. So that doesn't have anything to do with mentality, Naima. It's a virtual mentality, and then we have a outside, mentality. The virtual mentality is called the fantasy altered, reality.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
It's a fantasy
so it's
altered
not real,
reality.
But we believe
that,
it's real.
That, oh, I am not good enough. Reality. That's just it. No matter what I do, no matter how much I accomplish, no matter how many people love me, I am not good enough.
That has got
okay,
to
let's
sense.
Take a person like Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, Robin Williams was a very funny, very talented man. Had a beautiful family.
Yeah.
But as time went on in his life, whatever his traumas were, they got the best of him.
Mm. Yes.
And we can see this story over and over and over again. It is one of those things that you say, well, how can a person have everything in life but still feel like a nobody?
Yeah. I mean, I think of some people like Whitney Houston, Twitch. You know, I mean, just a lot of people that just seem like they were at the top of their game. Everybody just loved them. But something on the inside, they weren't feeling good about themselves. And you wonder, how is that possible when
okay,
everybody is telling you how wonderful you are?
Let's examine that, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's examine that. I want to pull that apart because this is such a topic that most people don't even think about, because the thing about this is mental illness is real.
Mm.
And this is a form of mental illness. When a person self-defeats, self-sabotages on a regular basis, they become very self-destructive.
Wow.
Okay? So, again, we look at the persona of the individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they were exposed to verbal altercation in life, because that's what verbal abuse is,
mm-hmm.
in some type of way. And, you know, and you would think, well, as you grow up, even if you were told you weren't good enough, even if you were bullied on the playground, what is in the human mind that actually stays that way? And not, some people come out of it, mm-hmm. and then some just seem like they stay stagnant. I've seen this, right? So here's some of the answers. Let's stir it up a little bit. From just the experience I've had when I'm dealing with individuals who are suffering from self-destructive tendencies, as I said, they'll say it's familiar to me.
Mm.
They will say it's easier not to think good of myself than to, you know, it's easier to think bad of myself than to think good. Because if I think good and everything goes right, then I'm wondering when failure is going to come.
Wow.
Because I usually fail. Something usually always goes wrong. So I don't even think that I can accomplish anything anymore.
Mm. So it's like being afraid to climb high because you're thinking about how long the fall is. Instead of how high you're going to be, you're thinking, oh, just think how much it's going to hurt when I fall from this great height. So therefore, therefore I shouldn't even try to climb, because the higher I go,
correct.
The more afraid I become of the fall.
Right. Mm. And if I was told this, I know one of my patients the other day told me, she's like, I've been told this all my life that I wasn't good enough, that I didn't matter.
Yeah.
And she's 49 years old.
Wow.
So I told her, I said, so did you believe every word that you said? Because this is how this happens. When a person's core belief is changed about themselves, they actually believe the falsehood. They believe that's who they are. So they never allow the new person, the new identity to even evolve because of the brokenness and the fragmentation of their life.
So does it depend on who put that idea in their mind? Like if it's somebody who they consider credible, say like a parent or a teacher, somebody who they look up to, that could say something that would put that permanent thought in their minds, you're worthless, you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything. And if your mother says it, that's like, oh, this is like writing it on your soul. This is who I am. She said it. She gave birth to me. She said I'm nothing. Your father says it. Your teacher says it. Somebody that you figure is credible, and you trust their opinion more than your own. So is that how it gets so deeply implanted, based on who says the thing?
It does. If someone says it to you or to them or what have you, that they love and that they trust it, mm-hmm. yes, they believe it. They believe it. Because remember, it's repetitive. Negative energy all just constantly evolves. And this is the thing about negative energy, when negative words, negative actions, because it raises a more intensive emotion in a human being than a positive one.
Ooh.
And it causes what they call an emotional explosion. I know it sounds a little weird.
Wow.
So let me break those down. When a person feels this intensity of emotion concerning this issue right here, what they do, they suffer with this thing called implosion, I-M-P-L-O-S.
Implosion
is the shattering of the inside of the person's
Ooh.
Ability to thrive. It shatters them. And this can happen as a child, as they grow up into a young adult, and as they become an adult.
Mm.
Now, if that implosion is suppression, because that's what implosion is, it's another word, was suppressed emotion.
Wow.
About what they heard, about what they feel about themselves, about what they feel about others. You see what I'm saying? I can never satisfy anyone. No one ever loves me. I can't get anything right. I'm always a failure. Okay, that's and the emotions that they feel behind that is suppressed. Now, you're not going to go around and tell everybody that's the way you feel.
Mm.
You're not, because you don't want anyone else to know what you feel inside. So those emotions are suppressed. If you don't get therapy, a good therapist to help you work through that stuff, then it becomes toxic.
Mm.
When it becomes toxic, then it goes into an area of what we call explosion. Explosion is just what it is, like dynamite, right? And when things start to explode, it starts to change the body chemistry, leading to ill health, leading to excessive stress upon the mind, leading to mental illness. That's when depression becomes your friend.
Mm. Now, I have...
Think about it. It can't get any better if it stays worse.
Well, you know, I have known people that they think that's the normal way you should feel, because that's how they felt all their lives, especially if they got the message early on. And I've known people who parent like this. They think that you're not supposed to ever praise your children because you don't want them to get a big head. You don't want to get – I've heard this, you know, where I don't want to get a big head. I don't want to get, you know, too much pride in themselves, and, you know, they need to be humble, whatever that thought is. But – so you have a person who grows up literally with no praise, no encouragement, the belief that they're supposed to stay humble and not think too highly of themselves. So they don't know that this is not supposed to be how you look at yourself, as less than or unworthy, or, you know, you're not supposed to praise yourself or lift yourself up or think highly of yourself. They don't know that that is what you should do, because they've been taught that's what you shouldn't do, and you should always be lowly and humble and put yourself last. I mean, there are whole cultures that especially teach women that this is how they're supposed to see themselves. And, you know, there are cultures where certain classes of people believe they're supposed to be in a permanent underclass, or they're supposed to be a lesser class. I mean, you have caste systems in different places. So there are people who've grown up with a state of mind that because of who you are or who your parents are or are not, you're not supposed to try to strive to be more than that. Who do you think you are? You know, I mean, people who literally will be made to feel bad if they try to rise above whatever low station in life they're told that they are supposed to be in? How do you undo that when all of the signals you get from your society even tells you that you're nothing and you're not supposed to be anything, and how dare you try to be something? How do you undo that?
Well, that's just it. That's what I'm telling you, my sister. What happens is it's a permanent core belief.
Wow.
Right? So until something, somewhere, until they wake up, they have to wait, and literally, you could be sleepwalking in this thing, okay, and not live the life that you are so wonderfully needing to live. And the outcome is horrendous.
Mm.
Because as long as you live, you're going to just be compromising with misery. You'll never feel good enough. You'll never feel like someone loves you because you're always self-sabotaging.
Mm.
And then when it becomes an area where you no longer value your own life, when you no longer value your own life, then if you're ever in a relationship, guess what? You're not going to value the lives around you.
Ooh.
So one day you may decide to take your life and don't care about what's around you at all.
Mm. Mm.
And you may want to do what that young army person did in South Carolina just recently.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling that, please understand the listeners, I'm not saying this is what you will do. I'm just letting you know
that
this young man had a mental illness. Something was wrong. He lost the value of life tremendously. So he took his own children's life as they slept in their bed.
Mm. And
we hear this all the time. What's wrong,
yes,
people?
What's
happening
thing
out there? I wish I had, yes, a bullhorn. What is wrong?
It starts with the thought.
Do you not feel love? What is it that you don't feel? My God, if I had enough love to spread out into the world, I would do it, Naima. Because the children are suffering.
That's it.
It ain't
their
fault that their parents are defective and dysfunctional. They are suffering. And that's the reason why I go into these topics. Just to wake somebody up. You don't have to think that you don't matter. Because you matter. You are loved. It doesn't matter how many times you was told that you're not loved. It doesn't matter what you think that you are not, but love yourself for what's in your life. Pick up your broken pieces and put them where you want them to be. Before something inside of you just shatters. One thing I can tell you about the human mind, it's delicate.
Yes.
To trauma.
Yes.
It's delicate. That explosion is real. Walking around, breathing, time. I'm talking about walking around, breathing, time, explosions. I call them time explosions because you don't know when they're going to happen.
Mm.
They're tick-tocking, landmines. And you hear it every day.
It is every day. Every day someone explodes. Well, we got to take a break in a moment, but when we come back, What brings to mind, you know, we had a guest a few days ago that was basically talking about the fact that all of this spike in crime and violence, it comes from people who have been so deeply wounded. And she was one who had been deeply wounded growing up in the foster care system, abused repetitively by adults, by people who were supposed to be trustworthy, not tended to, ignored. And then, you know, you look for someone to love you. So even if you end up out in the streets with someone who doesn't love you, but you know what love feels like because you haven't had it. So you end up in abusive relationships. And we talked about the fact that when there is no voice outside of you that's giving you any reinforcement to make yourself feel better about yourself and know what love feels like, then how do you discover that you are worthy of life? And you become suicidal when the constant message based on what you're experiencing is telling you that your life is worthless. So that's, you know, one of the things that we've looked at, because people who are in pain are the ones that are causing pain. Like you said, they explode. And our society, the only thing we keep thinking is, well, we need more police to get these people in order. Are you understanding they're expressing pain? So, well, we got to take a break, but when we come back, for those who understand that this is what it is, should it be social workers, organizations, you know, what different way of looking at people who are expressing their pain should we institute as a society, as opposed to seeing these people hurting, watching them explode, and then wanting to shut them away in prison because we fear them, because they've lost their, well, you know, they've lost their mind, they've lost their heart, they've lost their spirit, and they don't care who they hurt because they don't love themselves. So how do we step forward and change that? Or can we? So we'll be right back. And, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a thought to share or a question for Dr. Debbie, make sure you press 1 so we know you've got something to say, and we'll be right back. So stay with us.
Yes, Lord.
I'm Mama Joy.
And I'm Reverend Rosemary.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
So see you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Welcome back to Soulful Solutions. Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naomi Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. I'm so glad that you'll join us on YouTube, Facebook, and Blog Talk. And please understand, everything that I'm discussing, as I said, is just based on my experience and not etched in stone. Because this is a very sensitive topic, and I know other people have other, opinions and statements, and I'm just basing this upon what I experience day by day, because I work at a mental health facility, and I see up close and personal what this type of lifestyle can do. So, again, our topic is, am I my own worst enemy, the self-sabotage syndrome? You know, because one thing we do, you know, I want to go into this because you asked me a question earlier, but I want to say this before I answer that question. We have mild, moderate, and severe cases like this. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you what the mild case. The mild case is, you know, you may not have real low self-esteem, but you have problems asking people for assistance when you really need it. Mm-hmm. You want to always think, oh, I am a bother to you. I got to do it all for myself. Mm. You know, even when you know you can't. Something in your life is telling you, hey, reach out for help. But you don't.
Right.
Okay? And that's that mild thing. And then if it stays there for a period of time, then it goes from mild to moderate. Mild to moderate is that you start isolating from others. You don't talk to people that you usually talk to. People starting to notice a difference inside of just how your persona. You might have been juvenile or laughing or smiling, but now you don't express yourself. Your self-expression has changed. Mm-hmm. Now you're more quiet. You know, and they just think, well, maybe she's just, or he is just having a bad day. So it was bad in the weeks and months.
Mm.
And so you move from that moderate due to that severe. Now depression is hitting you. You stop really communicating even with family. You think that you are a burden to others.
Mm.
You can't even work anymore without actually feeling the lowest feelings when you walk in the building, thinking that you don't matter to anybody. Your sleep is interrupted.
Wow.
And you're barely eating, but you're still not telling anyone anything.
Mm.
You're still keeping this to yourself. Your relationships are not relationships anymore. They're empty.
Ooh.
You're still not even telling the person that you're involved with how you feel. Because you're getting lower and lower into that rabbit hole.
Wow.
Because remember, a person that self-sabotage never reaches out.
Mm. So is that from fear? Is that from fear because they have a memory of maybe being criticized at some point in their early life in childhood or something when they did admit they had a problem and maybe they were criticized or even punished for not being able to handle things themselves? I mean, what was the seed of that hesitancy to ask for help?
It's remember, okay, think about an addiction. Let me break it down to you. There's such thing as being addicted to unhappiness.
Wow.
Okay. Well, which means that anything that is formed in the mind on a repetitive, you got to understand, just like if you wake up every day, and you're doing the same things over and over and over and over and over and over, you're training your brain to respond to that thing.
Yeah.
So the subconscious is trained to respond, to react automatically. Mm. It doesn't have a rationale to say, oh, that's wrong. I shouldn't react in this way because this is not healthy. No, it just does what you allowed it to do. So we're dealing with thoughts. We're dealing with feelings. We're dealing with behavior that's been repetitive for long periods of time. All right. So even when a person comes to like a therapist or a psychologist and says, hey, you know, you may want to think about what you think about yourself. Well, and you get, you know, we get responses such as this. I never loved myself. I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. I have no idea who I am. I know I might be my sister's brother or my mother's child or my, you know, my wife's husband. Yeah, that's outside. I can tell you what I am outside of myself.
But who I'm on.
But I can't tell you who I am. Because, again, that brokenness has become shattered pieces.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now the person has to make a decision. If they seek the therapy, they got to seek trauma therapy very quickly. Because, again, self-sabotage is real. Most people don't reach out. They just continue breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking until they no longer value this being, the being, the being, the flesh, the person. I'm empty. I'm a shell. I'm literally walking around, and I am a shell. So what do I can't feel? How am I gonna? If I can't feel for myself, how am I feel for another human being, Naima? Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is where it goes into. That's why it's so very important that people understand these topics, because this is a life-saving thing.
Now, I have known people.
It's life-saving.
I have known people who maybe they've gone through a trauma, a robbery. You know, had a friend who was robbed, you know, house invaded, all that burglarized, and it was very traumatic. And so this is someone who looks at the morning news of all of the robberies, the shootings, and stays in a state of depression and fear, you know, traumatized to the point where they're, you know, afraid to do little things like go to the grocery store. Well, you know, you got to be careful. These people out here, they're crazy. And, you know, and I mean, it's like, They're reliving that trauma as if everywhere they go, they might encounter somebody who's going to mug them or rob them or assault them. And so they can't enjoy the quality of their life. And they had, you know, their daughter had won an award, and, you know, they were supposed to go to the event and see her. They were too afraid to go because it was in a crowded place, and, you know, these people
paranoid.
Out here are dangerous, paranoid. And so I'm just watching this and wondering, you know, you have great things happening in your life and you're missing them because you're gripped. And then you keep reinforcing it every day. Well, I got to know what's going on because I got to keep myself safe. Well, you're keeping yourself isolated and depressed. And even when something joyful happens, you can't even feel and experience and share in the joy because you just keep deciding that life is so bad and so dangerous. What do you do when people get stuck like that? And they believe that this is how they keep themselves safe, but they're also keeping themselves from experiencing any joy.
Well, think about what paranoia, it comes from, it's the same. If it's severe paranoia, you definitely have a mental illness, but sometimes what happens is we go right back to self-love, you know what I'm saying? Because it is, if I'm afraid of you in any type of aspect, it doesn't matter. If I'm just walking in a room and I fear people, you see what I'm saying? That means my anxiety is extremely high.
Yeah.
Okay? A normal mind walks in a place, may look at others, sits down, and, you know, they just settle in. You know, it's not about what they think people are doing or
saying
because they're in their own world.
Yeah.
But they're not so much in their world that they can't be consciously in others as well within safety.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it depends on the atmosphere of what you're walking into. You see what I'm saying? Some people walk into atmospheres that may not be healthy. Okay, now that's a reason why you should feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Because you got yourself in an unhealthy atmosphere. But if you're just walking in a room or a place and everybody seems to be juvenile, enjoying themselves, and you like this.
Yeah.
Oh, something's wrong.
Yeah.
No, you're paranoid.
Yeah.
That's a delusional thought process.
So how does a person know the difference between being normally cautious of their surroundings and being paranoid where everywhere you go you're looking for some awful thing to happen or you're looking at everybody with suspicion? How do you know when you've crossed the line into paranoia?
Well, people who are paranoid feel this all the time. So people who are not just having like little tendencies of nervousness, now they don't feel that all the time. Now, paranoia is a mental illness, right?
So it becomes a state of being where you're always living in fear and suspicion.
All right, yes, because you train yourself that way. All habitual thinking processes are trained things that happen more than one time. Because think of, like I said, if you get up every morning thinking that you are a failure, you're going to be a failure.
Yeah, you'll make it happen.
Because the brain doesn't, it's only going to, you're going to, whatever you think, you're going to live.
Yes.
Again, this is a virtual reality. The reality ain't nothing going on because fear only exists inside the mind. It doesn't exist outside the mind.
Fear only exists inside the mind. False evidence appearing real. Fear.
Correct.
Now, I had a friend several years ago, and I guess somewhere in their teen years, they had gotten, stopped by police, frisked, thrown to the ground, mistaken for someone else, and, arrested, went to jail. Eventually, they got let out, but the whole thing was very traumatic for them. And so they were, from what I observed, kind of dysfunctional. I mean, this is several years ago, but, we could not walk down the street anytime a police car passed by. They would, go on a high alert, and they'd be, want to, hide in the corner of a building or something until the car passed by. And then he would be whispering, "You can't trust these police." And I'm like, okay, how you going to live? And this is just people driving down the street. And we were getting ready to go into a coffee shop, and two police officers sitting there just having coffee. Oh, we can't go in there. And okay. They're not paying you any attention. But he was deeply paranoid. I don't know how you heal from something like that, because he had a memory of something that traumatized him. And when people go through a trauma and they don't recognize it's a trauma, then they don't reach out and get help for the trauma. They just adjust to it, and then it becomes a state of mind and mental illness. Because he couldn't function. Because you can't walk down a city block and not see, police or somebody. And if every time you see somebody who's in a uniform, a police officer in a car or walking, and you're freaking out, there's no way you can even live.
The mind would do an odd thing when fear is upon the mind. You would think somebody's following you. You would think someone's trying out to get you. I've had every kind of descriptive. I remember one of my patients saying that, I had these six cars following me for 5 miles. I said, "What cars are driving behind you? That's normal." He said, "No, they were following me, and I know they were, because they were all black cars." I'm like, okay.
You have a reason why they'd be
paranoid.
Following? Yeah.
He was paranoid. That's what's happening. That's paranoia and delusion to the highest level. So let's get back to self-sabotage, because I really want people to understand what this is. And what I want to do is actually give you a Webster's. I'm going to look at my handy Webster pocket here, because I know you know what Dr. Dev says, but I want you to hear what Webster has to say about this topic. Because not only does it affect your life, guess what? It affects others, too. No, not because if you're self-sabotaging in a relationship, that's a big problem.
Mm. So
self-sabotage is when people don't do things that block their success or prevent them from accomplishing their goals. It can happen consciously or unconsciously. Self-sabotage behaviors can affect our personal and professional success as well as our mental health.
Mm.
Okay? So I want to give you examples of it so everyone can get a good example. So understand, if this is something that you are doing, that you are doing presently, then you may want to take a look at that and eliminate it. I'm just saying, okay? All right, the first one is called procrastination. Guess what? Everybody does that, right? Mild, moderate, or severe. When it's severe procrastination or moderate, you're in trouble. Mild, I'll put things off to tomorrow, but I still get them done. Procrastination or putting something off and making excuses is a common self-sabotage behavior. Courting temptation. It's courting temptation. Think about the word temptation, right? So if something's tempting you, it could be a relationship, it could be alcohol, it could be whatever, you know, you're courting it, which is, if it's dysfunctional, you're courting it. Because temptation is something that's dysfunctional. So you have a relationship with that thing. Self-medication. We know self-medication as being substances, right? Extreme substances like addictions. Self-medication. Perfectionism. Always think you have to be perfect. You got to dot every I and cross every T. That is a compromised misery. Because nothing is ever perfect, and you will always be doing that. And you'll never feel good enough. Defensiveness. You defend yourself all the time. You always feel you have to put up a defense mechanism when you don't even have to. If you think someone is saying something to you, which means you are triggered by something that someone is saying, you immediately get extremely angry without logically thinking, well, maybe I'm overreacting to this thing. You get extremely angry, and before you realize it, you're pushing them away.
Wow. Mm.
So your relationships is greatly affected by this type of behavior. The things I was telling you that causes self-sabotage, we're looking at low self-esteem, negative self-talk, and related negative emotions. So when you speak to yourself negatively, I'm not good enough, and you're not telling anyone else, oh, they don't love me, I'm not important to them, they've never been there for me. And you say, well, maybe that's true because they never have. But at the same token, you're beating yourself up for that.
Mm. Now, I have
thinking something wrong with you. It's not so much, you know, you start beating up yourself instead of like, okay, maybe I just don't get along with that person. It's not me. Maybe we just don't see eye to eye. Thinking about it rationally, you don't think about it. You just think about, oh, I'm wrong. I'm guilty because I'm not good enough. They don't love me. I'm not worthy of them.
I had an associate that was having a lot of troubles keeping a relationship, and they discovered that every time they would get close to somebody, and it would seem like, okay, this is going to be perhaps someone that, you know, I marry, start a family with, something would happen, and this associate found themselves creating some kind of a fight, a conflict. You know, they'd have a big blowout and then break up. And it was always when the relationship was at that point when they were about to actually, you know, cement the relationship and have it be like a permanent commitment. And, you know, they said this was a pattern. And, you know, we were talking about, well, what is the thing? Because once they realized that they kept doing this, they said, you know, I really love this. I loved all of them that I was with, but somehow as soon as we got really close, something would happen and we end up in some horrible argument and break up. You know, I don't understand what this is. So is that kind of a pattern of self-sabotage? Maybe someone has a fear of emotional intimacy or, you know, fear of so they said that their first love that they had, you know, back in high school, you know, they really loved that person, and, you know, something happened where the parents made them break up or something, but it didn't come to fruition, so they left heartbroken. So it seemed to me like it's a fear of heartbreak. It's like you destroy every good relationship because you're fearing, you know, that if you actually love this person and make a commitment, something's going to happen to ruin it, so maybe you ruin it first. Just based on your description, it sounds like that's a pattern of self-sabotage. Just say, well, I want to be happy. I want to have a permanent person in my life, but somehow whenever we get to that point, it ends badly, and, you know, I don't know why. So is that a pattern of self-sabotage?
It is. Yes, it is. I once heard someone say that I'm so used to, you know, I'm so used to being in an argumentative or a delusional state to I keep myself in that position. Mm. So it's like I'm used to, because, again, it's an addiction.
Mm.
It's an addiction to dysfunction.
An addiction to dysfunction.
And it becomes a it's an addiction to dysfunction. So it becomes a sabotaged mindset. When you have a mindset, a mentality of that, mm. then you become what they call pessimistic about everything.
Mm.
You're not looking at anything optimistic anymore. Because you're self-defeating and you're self-sabotaging.
So you're waiting for the bad thing to happen. And then because you're waiting for it to happen, you actually kind of make it happen.
You look for it.
Yeah.
You look for it. You literally look for it.
Mm.
Because that's all you know. And you find yourself looking for it so much that you become creative, the creator of it, of what you're looking for. You're not looking for anything else. You look because this is what you're used to. So you're stuck in fear, pretty much.
Stuck in fear.
You're stuck in fear. So you focus on what is not working or not right.
Mm.
That's what your focus is on. You're stuck in fear. You feel you have no value. You are constantly comparing yourself to others. You're meeting goals, but then you think you're losing them.
Mm-hmm.
You chase away positive relationships,
mm-hmm.
and you have no purpose.
Wow.
You say, well, I didn't know people could live like that, huh? Well, they do.
If that's what's normal to them, because that's what they know, then that becomes a state
of being. Those are the people that you see walking around and becoming landmines.
Wow.
That's the landmine thinker that I'm talking about.
And so when something happens and they explode, it's always a shock. Everybody, where did that come from? But they seem so happy, you know, and they didn't.
They might have been putting on a facade.
Yeah.
People pretend real good.
Help.
They get Emmys and Grammys for pretending.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that's in their mind. Okay, well, let's do some healing. So now we know the worst part, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've already talked about where it could come from, how it develops, what behaviors you know, and actions of this type of mindset, you know? So how does one heal from this? How do we break free?
You know, sometimes I hear people, and they have the same complaint all the time. It's like nothing in their life is going right, or every relationship they had always ends badly. So it seems like until a person can examine themselves, not to put themselves down or blame themselves, but understand the pattern of thought that creates the negative outcome and figure out, why are they believing the worst about themselves and others? And I don't know if there's a way to get to the origins of that. Well, we got to take a break, and we've got some callers on the line. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you're on our switchboard now, press 1. If you have a question for Dr. Debbie, do not wait until 2 minutes before we have to go, because it will not be time to take your call, because she has to make some last statements before she leaves. So if you press 1 at 2 minutes before it's time for the show to end, we will not be able to take your call. So please press 1 now if you have a thought you'd like to share or a question you'd like to ask, so we can give you the time to speak. Thank you. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green.
Weo and Yah Shalom or Hua. We don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful with some black power. Education is a key to success. And black brothers and sisters in love with one another is the very, very best. The top of the line is God. First, last, and foremost, all the time. Yes, I know possibly maybe I might be one of those persons. However, I really don't think so because I love God and I love myself the most. And I think if people will learn better, know better, and do better, and especially love, you know, black love matters too, is a way of life that we all got to do. And problems come from the wrong or the negative in a person. A person must learn and grow in PMA, positive mental attitude, all the way. I encourage myself and everybody else, that's the real way for us, and especially right about now, to be ourselves, to accept our own, and do for ourselves as in love, because love is the greatest. And also, I like to share this thought with you. The artists for Brandon Johnson will be meeting today at Lake Grove Village from 3:30 to 5:30 today. And we got the music, Sister Naima. Win, Brandon Johnson wins. All that music came from Mayor Harold Lee Washington in Chicago.
Well,
and for more information,
I hope your artists put forth some uplifting promotional music for healing the souls of so many that need help in our cities. And thank you so much for all you do and being that kind of artist that pushes positive mental attitude. Music can be very healing, so that's very important. And, of course, that's for people in the Chicagoland area. We in Chicago are going through some things. Definitely a lot of depression in this city, so we need an uplift. We really need some healing. So thank you so much for that. Area code 312-848. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green.
I'm calling from Chicago. This is Rashida Ali.
Yes. Give us your question. Have you known someone who self-sabotages, always seem to have things go wrong, and can't seem to get out of it, can't seem to change the pattern? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought personally is to be conscious of it. If you're conscious of it, if you believe in the higher force, pray to higher force to heal. That's what I feel about, and that's my approach to my problem. And then it seems like when I pray wholeheartedly, I always find out with an answer. But I have a question for the doctor. I need to know if there a treatment for phobias, because there's about 400 phobias, which you have the fear of people who have just a simple fear of the number 13. It's called achismophobia, something like that. Then you have people who have fear of water, hydrophobic, and then the fear of dirt. You know, everybody have a phobia. But when you deal with people who you tell that you have a phobia, they try to label you as, you know, mentally unbalanced. Everybody has some type of phobia. Mine is tomophobia, which that's the only one I know of. And I didn't discover that until I was older. But I need to know if there's a clinic that either you could design in a format to treat phobias, because a lot of people are in denial, and then if the people acknowledge they have a phobia, then they're labeled as mentally ill. So that's what I need to know, because I think it's crazy, in my opinion, to be fear of a number. Excuse me, but it's true. People have phobias. That's why they see everything in numbers and colors and all that. That is a phobia, especially the fear of the number 13. So if there's a way that we could, I'm willing, because I'm an active person at my age, I'm willing to help in any way to see that this stop, you know, or is treated, because a lot of our young people are getting killed. Excuse me. My bronchitis is acting up. A lot of young people are getting killed because of fear. My grandson, when he was younger, I questioned him. I said, if the police get after you, what would you do, Chauncey Jr.? He said he would run. As old as he was, he was 20-something then before they killed him. I thought he would not run from the police. But that's a phobia. And I asked him, why would you run from the police if the police got after you and you hadn't done nothing wrong? He said, because I wouldn't want to go to jail. He had a fear of police, fear of injury, and fear of jail. That's three phobias. So if there's a way, because everybody got one, and I don't think they're truthful if they say they don't. If there a way to develop or design a healing format or program to treat phobias, that's my question.
Well, thank you, Rashida. Okay. We appreciate your question.
All right. Well, phobias are usually developed in our childhood. Everything comes from the childhood sector of our life, because if you never saw a spider, you can't be afraid of it if you never saw it. Until you realize, you know, if you see somebody else saw a spider and they say, and they're afraid of it, then from that day on, you are afraid of a spider. You see what I'm saying? So it's a perception of what it is to you, knowing that, again, fear only exists in the mind. Now, you asked me a question, is there a clinic for that? But you don't live here, so I don't know what they have there.
Yeah,
you know?
She's out of Atlanta, so, you know. You're in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know what they have there. I can only tell you what you can do as an individual if you have a phobia. And phobias are only go into mental illness when they become severe and life altering. Okay, if they're altering your life, like we call what's like social phobias, just to keep it simple. Not going outside. Like you have some people don't want to go outside, especially since the pandemic. Oh, I don't want to be sick. So they don't go outside. They stay inside. They only go out if they absolutely have to, like for doctor's appointments. But they don't go in grocery stores. They stay inside. I know somebody's been inside for 4 years.
Mm.
4 years. No outside activity since the pandemic.
Yeah, I know people like that. They're paranoid of germs.
Germophobic. Mm-hmm.
Their life has been altered to such a degree where it does affect the quality of life. And you know, you mentioned when a phobia is at such a point where it can affect the quality of your life. well, like you mentioned, yeah. and I mentioned the young man who had the fear of police because of what had happened to him in his youth, and he was forever paranoid and could not function just on a day-to-day basis and didn't realize that it mushroomed into an extreme phobia. And there might be a lot of people going through that because anytime you've been stopped, searched, handcuffed, that's traumatic. And
right.
we're tending to treat it like
PTSD,
Yes.
It'll go into PTSD. So if the young man she's talking about, like you said, you know, if he's ever been stopped, searched, and that fear is still in him, you know.
Well, I think she said that to her son
PTSD.
Who had been, was her son or grandson that you, let me open your mic again. I think she said it was her son or her grandson that had actually been, that had been killed. And had a fear beforehand. Is that what you were saying, that this is?
Yes. There was my grandson who was murdered on soft homicide up until today. But I think he had fear of injury. But I asked him a question about the police direct. He said he would run. I was surprised. But I'm
well,
glad
a lot of
I
young
him.
People say that. Because of how police are responding to young people, and we've talked about this with, you know, one of our guests a few days ago, the fact that the relationship is creating trauma on all sides. You have police who have become extremely paranoid because of what they're ingesting every day in terms of news reports and warnings in the morning, you know, before you go out. So every traffic stop, you think somebody's going to pull a gun on you. So they pull out a cell phone. You're, you know, so paranoid you shoot. I mean, I had a police officer explain that this is what happened to him. Somebody was just pulling out their license plate and said, oh, see, I just hadn't put my plates on the car yet. The guy had a gun to his head before he could even, he's looking, what's wrong with you? Because he PTSD on both sides. So if you have the person who's paranoid, who's got the gun, the person who's the citizen, who's just trying to live their normal life and gets a gun pulled on them, both of them are exhibiting PTSD and could potentially cause death or harm because of the paranoia that's untreated. And we as a society have normalized it, and we're blaming each other and not realizing this is mental illness, that this extreme policing is creating in everybody. So we have to figure out a better way so that we can live as human beings without fear. But we thank you for sharing that, Rashida.
But
because
you know what? I have a proposal to give to the upcoming mayor, and
mm-hmm.
I think it would be beneficial for the city of Chicago because everybody that's in the black neighborhood is traumatized because of all of these killings, and it's more common in Chicago because just this year I walked over 7 dead bodies, never before in my life. But I have I experienced that. But my grandmother told me during the Depression, because we lived across the street from the Beverly Police District, that during the Depression it was common to walk on the street in a black neighborhood over dead bodies and blood during the Depression. So these people are obviously depressed. They definitely traumatized here in the city because of all the killings in the black neighborhood, unsolved homicide. And then for the police chief to say, not the chief, but the president of the police, Chicago Police Union Association said that all Muslims should have bullets in them. So everybody who had a baby or a family member that died from bullet wounds that's a Muslim could blame his public saying. So we need to have something. I have a proposal to give to the upcoming mayor to treat trauma phobic because everybody that's in a black neighborhood is traumatized from killing. If they're not, then something wrong with them, if they become sensitized to the killing. So I just wanted to say, whoever is for my issue, I'm going to vote for, because I got some form to sort of treat the trauma in our neighborhood. I'm not concerned about the international or the white or the black community. I'm talking about the Chicago African so-called America community that's been traumatized, and they need to be treated because the untreated are injuring other people because they have become victimized. So the victim is victimizing, and that's not very good, and it's a hush-hush. That's why there are so many unsolved homicides in the black neighborhood in Chicago. That's amazing. And everybody talks about it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
and we thank you for coming up with a solution, Rashida, because that's what citizens should do. When the elected officials don't know what to do, then we have to give them solutions. But, you know, it's another thing that, we also don't realize, because police suicides are up, because they are traumatized too. And, you know, every human being is affected by every human being. We are all connected, whether we understand it or believe it or not. And so the person who takes a life is just as traumatized as the person whose life, the family of the person whose life was taken. So everybody is traumatized when we respond to each other with fear that leads to violence. So that's why we have to heal the fear, because the fear is what creates the dysfunctional behavior. And then everybody who is connected to that, whether you're seeing it happen or walking over a body afterwards, you're traumatized. So this is important for us to resolve as a human family. And it isn't one segment that's just affected. It is the entire planet. So all of us are experiencing this, and all of us are affecting each other as we experience it. And when we normalize dysfunction, then it doesn't go away. And one other thing I wanted to mention, Rashida asked about treatment. And I'm going to suggest something that has helped people. And I think Viata might even talk about this on her show, with hypnotherapy, helping you to see when something goes beyond your childhood, beyond this present life. That therapy is difficult for people who are stuck on the idea that this is all there is, when in fact you are a multidimensional, eternal being. And each life experience you have had affects every life experience you have had. And so there are many people who under hypnotherapy have discovered that a phobia that they have in this life is connected to the way they died in a past life or another life, because we understand even time is simultaneously in another dimension. That's another whole conversation. But to understand that if you have died before through drowning and then now you have this unexplained fear of water. You know, you won't go into the swimming pool because you just have this fear, and it's unexplainable. Or perhaps you died by a snake bite in another life, and in this present life experience, you had this unexplained fear of snakes. And so a lot of these things, unless we can expand our consciousness about what life is, we won't be able to solve these things, because we are an eternal being having an ongoing experience, that every life experience affects every life experience. So it would be worth it, if you can't get rid of a fear and you don't remember a childhood experience, or, you know, it might be one, or it might be another experience that your soul has had and you're still traumatized. So this is why you can consider hypnotherapy as perhaps being a solution to a trauma that is totally unexplained, but it might have been something that happened to you in another life experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, again, one should value oneself at all costs, and even if you're not comfortable with it, if you've never done it before, you know, it's very important that you start now. You know, because at some point you didn't trust people, because someone injured you with their words, and you were violated by a person in some type of way. And from that point on, you just felt unsafe. You felt unsafe, you felt unheard, you felt unloved, and you found yourself in this place of fear. And fear just constantly had this vicious cycle in your mind, and now here we are, you know, festering. I mean, I have to use that word, because it's like a splinter in the finger. You know it's in there, it's hurting. You don't want no one else to touch it, but then you don't want to touch it either.
Mm.
Okay, has to come out.
It will stay there and hurt until you pull it out. It's not going to stop hurting.
And it's not, but it keeps transferring into other things.
Yeah, gets infected.
It's not going to just be a splinter in the fingernail. It becomes a problem to the soul.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So can we say this is a scarring kind of event? I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe, the soul of that person, got scarred so severely as they were younger to the point where they just felt this is a part of my being.
This is who I am.
This is who I am.
This is who I am. And
they never experienced love.
Yes. And that's what those of us who want to help, that's what we can do, is to give love to those who may have never experienced it and don't know what it feels like, don't know how to express it, don't know how to return it. Sometimes we get angry at people who are like that. They seem like they're cold and unfeeling, and we blame them and consider them, bad or wrong or insensitive. But it's the pain that they have experienced that they're responding to and putting up a shield so that it doesn't happen again. And that's why a lot of times people have been hurt, they don't have the capacity to express love in its totality because of the pain that they're trying to avoid. Again, fear. When everything in your life is fear-based, then you can't love because you're always in fear. Fear of forming friendships because, I've been betrayed before, so I can't trust people. I don't have friends. Fear of love relationships, fear of money relationships. I had money and I was robbed, so, now I just keep sabotaging myself, so I always stay broke, and I don't even know that I'm doing this consciously, but there's even a fear of money, and I've seen even that, brilliant people, and it's like they keep sabotaging their opportunity to do better. I had an associate that we were co-workers, and the department wanted to promote her. And it seemed like every time she got close to that promotion, she'd do some weird thing, and then they go, no, maybe not. Like, maybe not show up for a couple of days and not call in and say what happened. And, I had an accident. Well, you didn't call. You had meetings and clients, and you didn't call. Maybe she's not really quite reliable. Or do some other some other thing that would make her seem not as reliable and responsible, so then they'd rethink that promotion because she kept doing things to show she wasn't ready, and it just looked like self-sabotage. It's like, they're looking at you, they'd like to promote you to this management position, but then you do something dim-witted, right when they're thinking about it, and they go, no, maybe not. So, was it fear of success, fear of responsibility, fear of having to live up to higher expectations?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And, I also want to address the parents that have children that are self-sabotaging.
Mm.
So if you have an adolescent from the ages of 12 and 17, that you see these self-sabotaging symptoms. And, again, I want to make sure you understand those symptoms. So if you see this in your child, or even in yourself. Again, you need to make a conscious decision. The conscious decision is this: are you going to risk yourself, or are you going to lose yourself?
Mm.
That's the conscious decision. Because, it's real. It's not a fix-all. It takes time to work on yourself. It takes time to put things in order where you don't have to be struggling with it, but it has to make sense to you. You have to figure out what the root cause is. Well, how did it happen? Did I grow up with a narcissistic family member? Okay, so narcissism is one of those things that are part of people's lives that self-defeat, self-sabotage, and self-destruct. They have the inability to show love because they're not emotionally available to you. So parents, if you're not emotionally available to your children, please start.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your grandparents. iPad, if you see your daughters or sons raising their children, and the children seem like they're always sad, standing off in the corner, no, they ain't just quiet.
Mm.
Something is wrong. You need to pull them to the side and ask them, do you feel loved? Ask them that question. Do you feel loved and do you love yourself? And listen to the answer. And if they give you, I don't know, that means they really don't know.
Mm. We got another caller. We got to take a break. And I got a question about that, but we'll come back. And 312-450, we'll take your call. And if you're on our switchboard and got a question, please press 1 now because we're in our last half hour, and we want to give you a chance to speak your piece. So we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, executive producer of The Female Solution. Oh. I just want to just say really quickly before we take that final call, if you are suffering with self-sabotage syndrome, self-defeat, any of those things, you want to find a therapist that is going to help you with CBT, cognitive behavior therapy. And also DBT, that's dialectical behavior therapy. Cognitive behavior therapy is thinking techniques with the repetition that you can come out of this, come out of procrastination, low self-esteem, come out of low self-confidence, and thrive, not just exist or survive, but thrive and help yourself be more successful. DBT is mindfulness. You're mindful of your being. You're mindful of your thoughts. You self-monitor every day. You keep a journal right near you. Write down your thoughts. Write down your feelings. Look at them. Examine them. Ask yourself, are they healthy or they're not? Identify them. Okay? And if you need help doing this, I did leave my, for those who can see me on Facebook, but those who hear me on Blog Talk, my email address is SOFASolutions with the S, 77 at gmail.com. Again, SOFASolutions, 77 at gmail.com. So if you're suffering severely from this, let's change. Let me help you.
And that's soulful, spelled S-O-U-L, soulful, S-O-U-L-F-U-L, solutions, say with an S, 77 at gmail.com, for those who are listening and don't see the screen. And let's take, I'll take in this order, 312-450 and 773-977. Anybody else on our switch board that has a thought, please press 1 now so we know how much time to give everybody to speak. And let's go to 312-450 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question for Dr. Debbie Green.
Hello, can you guys hear me? I'm here from Chicago. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Let's go, Chicago. Let's go, Chicago. Blessings to all my sisters and my special sister, Dr. Debbie Green. I am so glad that you came in to talk about the things that we are going through in our mental state. Many people just don't understand that a lot of things that we're going through. I just want to ask you a question, Dr. Green, Debbie Green, at that. What I believe in my spirit, and I'm not 100% correct, but I'm doing research on it, that a lot of the things that we are going through in with the women, we're talking about women. Oh, happy Women's Month, and I pray that all women will come together with the women are rising and other women across this nation. But I wanted to ask you a spiritual question, and it's just what I have in my thoughts. When the word talks about the reprobate and depraved mind, the mind, cover your mind, cover your ear gate and your eye gate, but put on your helmet of salvation because of your brain, your mind. And I believe that the mind is really what's controlling everything, including your health. And so I want to ask you a question. Can you see that relating to the mind of anything that deals in the mind when you're talking about the disorders and all of the other things that you're talking about, OCD and other things? Do you believe that's related to what Yah is talking about, what God is talking about when he talks about the reprobate or depraved mind?
Yes, well, what that is referring to, the scripture is talking about double-mindedness. That's what that means. What's retrograded means double-minded. Man is indecisive. And that, and think about it from a, I'm going to give you a spiritual connotation as well as a natural one, okay? So we're going to talk about the spiritual one. The spiritual connotation, because of the three mindsets that a man has, he has me, myself, and I, which is his ego, his id, and his superego. Now, when the egos are not joined together, again, how can two walk together? They don't agree, right? So if they don't agree, then what happens is that ego process gets altered. When that ego process gets altered, the witness of the superego, okay, that God has created us, which is our integrity, our right and wrong, is no longer supporting the ego because it's separated. The ego is altered by trauma or whatever that life has imparted on this human being. So spiritually, what they do, they don't have a spiritual understanding of you know, even the presence of the Godhead inside of them. Because remember, they lost the identity. They lost the who I am, who I am. Get that? Who? Who is us? The I am is God. So they lost that part. That part has been lost in translation in life. How can they recover that? Of course, seek him that they can find him, which means they got to first also seek thyself to know thyself, okay? Because you'd be surprised how many Christians have low self-esteem, have low self-worth, you know what I'm saying, and also have a low self-standing of themselves, of their own identity, of course, again, due to trauma. So that's why, you know, it's real, real important that themselves, like, I know who I am, who. I am the who, and I know that I am. So, which means once they get together on the same playing ground, once they understand, and that is a meshing of that person with the Creator, then that is when all of the indecisiveness will then cease, the self-defeat will cease, as well as the self-sabotage that's leading self-destruction. Okay, that's the spiritual part. I'm going to give you the natural part. The natural part is when a person is traumatized, right, in the brain, Sister Dharma, Apostle, in the brain, there are neural uptakes. There are different chemicals that are released because of the pressure that's experienced from the emotional part of a person, of their heart. Their heart was attacked by this event, this circumstance, these words, these actions. So it permeates the mindset of a human being. It permeates the spirit. It's a broken spirit that this person is experiencing. And as they experience this, even as a child, they go into a young adult, and if they don't heal, which is discover the who I am, again, if they don't seek that, if they don't discover that, they remain in this broken, shattered state. Mm. And that's what leads to self-defeat permanently, sabotage permanently, leading to self-destruction, and we see it every day. As I said, gave everybody an example. When a person is suicidal, they are walking, breathing landmines. If you have severe suicidal tendencies, that means you no longer have a sense of the I am. You no longer have a sense of the being important, being valuable. So if you don't value yourself, quite naturally, you're not going to even see the value of your own loved ones. Because you have a destructive mindset. And we go back, a lot of people say you're demonic, you're this, you're that, but you're sick. You're not just demonic, you are sick. You lost in transition. You lost in translation. But when you discover the value of the image of God within you, quite naturally, you will not do anything to stir that. You won't do anything to break that down. You won't continue the pattern of fragmentation and brokenness because you discover how important you are to Yah, to God, to your higher source. But most of all, most important, you discover how important you are to yourself.
Yes. Thank you, Darva. Thank you for that question. We appreciate
it. God
bless you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Retrogression is a terrible thing because a man is indecisive. He's indecisive. He'll never make a decision. He'll always be confused, and he'll always be led astray. I want to something really quick. Sister Joy Sager, thank you for joining us. She's on Facebook. This is what she had to say. Fear to live up to higher expectations. Lose yourself or rescue yourself. Dr. Green, you are 60 years too late for me. But right on time for me to, in this time, improve my mothership and grandmothership of love and healing to my family and tell my story. Thank you for being a saver to this morning, Dr. Green. Look here.
Thank you, Mama Joy.
I don't care. Never too late. I have clients that are old as 83 years old, okay?
Never too late.
I don't know how you are. I don't know how you are, but I tell them, I say, I'm so glad that you came, just like you came when you were 2 years old. I'm so glad that you realized because the worst thing to do is get close to your last breath and self-sabotage and think that you're not worthy of nothing.
You know, there are a lot
that's
of people.
That's the worst thing to do.
And the sad thing is, you look at people who are older, there are a lot of people, because of, you know, misteachings and their belief system, they're too afraid to even pray and talk to God because they feel unworthy. Something has, they've been told, you know, you're bad, you're unworthy, you're going to hell. And they're old and sick, and sent them in hospitals afraid to die because they're afraid that God hates them. And so, you know, that kind of reinforced thought. You can't fix what's broken inside of you because you can't get to the source of your healing because you feel unworthy of it. So some of what people believe has to be redirected so that they can understand that there is no one that's condemned or unworthy or God won't talk to. You know, you're just too bad, too sinful. You didn't make too many mistakes. You're unforgivable. And you have a lot of older people that are afraid. They're living their last years out in fear because they've been taught that they're unworthy, and that's a sad thing.
But that's so untrue.
So
you're
untrue.
Made in the image of God. You are worthy more than you can possibly, and more valuable than you can possibly imagine.
Yeah, so we got another caller here.
Move out your way.
Move out your own way. Yeah, 773-977. Your mic is open. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience. And give us your question for Dr.
Good morning. To God be the glory. This is Lois in Chicago. And hi, Dr. Debbie Green. And hi, Naima. This is so wonderful, this subject this morning. Thank the Lord. I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois, here in the Lakeshore area. I have a friend who has been married three times, and they're both senior citizens in their last stage. And she's married to this gentleman, but they're separated. He has a wife. His first wife had six children by him. And all six children have placed her in a nursing home for over 30 years. Dr. Green, she's deciding that she wants to get her out of this nursing home and place her in the house where her husband lives. And forget about the six children. I don't know if that's a good thing for her, but she has compassion, so much compassion for the lady. She said that her children have done her wrong for all these years. And she had six children. And also, I wanted to say that, you know, we were all traumatized on 9/11. We were traumatized when Floyd was killed, Emmett Till, and all the rest of them. We have been traumatized a long time. And what I recommend, I just recommend Jesus to all of us. You know, the persons who we're going to spending hundreds of dollars to, they have their own problems too. They really can't solve. Nobody, the greatest healer that ever lived, his name was Jesus, the greatest doctor. So that's what I feel about the whole situation. What can we do to help people, especially when they make these mistakes in their last days? Thank you so much for this time. And this is Lois in Chicago.
Thank you, Lois in Chicago. We appreciate you. Yes. So how does a person deal with, you know, fixing a family problem, especially if they want to take care of an elder?
Well, that's the thing. Let me say it like this. The elders have lived, okay? They have lived their life. And a lot of the role reversals, Naima, is role reversal now, okay? Because they figure you're old, you can't live by yourself any longer, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you need somebody to make, you know, to make decisions for you.
Mm-hmm.
However, the thing about this, when shall we come in a time where we can respect our elders and actually, you know, allow them to make some decisions on their own? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I understand that sometimes they can get a little feisty from time to time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that because I have several, you know, that I counsel even today. And the oldest one I have is 83, okay? she's a psychologist.
Mm.
And the amazing part is when I'm talking to her, she knows exactly what I'm talking about, and she's just dealing with some inner child trauma, right, that she wants to rectify. But her son made a decision to move her out of her home and put her in assisted living. At first, she didn't like this because, remember, these people are used to being individuals. They're used to doing things for themselves. That's all they knew. They were their children. They lived their life. They were just like they were, their children are, when they were that age. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we respect them, but you have to listen and not so much reprimand and respect, because that's when you're going to really get them. They're going to be uncomfortable because they don't want to be caged in. They don't want to be, set apart. You have to let them know that, okay, I want to know what you think, and then I'm going to tell you what I think, and we're going to come up with a mutual understanding.
Mm.
Now, and then if you're doing something, like if you're not, you're leaving the stove on, you're not locking the door, you may not know how to write your checkbooks to pay your bills anymore, okay, those are ADLs, activities of daily living. And they're not able to do that, then you tell them, do you think you can still do this because you haven't done this? Put it in front of them. Don't just assume that you take the command and not let them know you're doing it out of love. They have to know you're doing it out of love, not at the course of a command or a demand.
I think sometimes I think when people are perhaps in their elder years and they may be experiencing some memory loss or even some signs of dementia, not every family has people who have the compassion or patience to deal with that. And so if they put someone in a nursing home, it's because they know they don't have the capacity, they don't have the patience, they don't have the skills to work with that person as they may be going through the aging process and maybe losing memory and skills. It's a good thing if we could raise our children to be the caretakers that they may need to be of us, just like we were their caretakers. I mean, ideally that's supposed to happen, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you have children who feel like, look, I can't be bothered with this, or maybe they're just too, their older person is just too defiant or too cantankerous. They just, you know, won't listen. They just don't have the patience with it. Maybe they don't want to disrupt their own personal life. Oh, I'm here with my husband. I'm here with my wife. Look, we're happy. We got our family. We can't be bothered with that. That's what homes are for. That's what senior places are. I mean, that's how they feel. So, you know, ideally, we should raise our family to be responsible for each other as we all go through the phases where we need help. You needed help as a child, as an infant. They didn't abandon you. You shouldn't abandon them. If they did abandon you, it might be why you don't feel the compulsion to care for them. But ideally, if a person can be in a loving home with their family, even if they're going through stages of dementia or forgetfulness or just, you know, body breaking down and need to be in a wheelchair or walk with a walker and need assistance physically, ideally your children should have the love in their heart and the patience to let you live out your last life, your last years among loving family members. If you don't have a loving family, that's difficult. But, you know, it didn't just happen yesterday. All children become whatever they've experienced, whatever they are as a human being, and sometimes there isn't someone that you have raised who will give you the love that you need when you become an elder and need help. That's a sad thing, but maybe you get more love from a stranger than you do from your own family. Sometimes it happens that way.
That's true. You do. You get more love from strangers, and that's normal because nobody else knows the story.
Nobody knows what happened in your family.
It's easy to be something that, you know, that somebody doesn't know that you are, you know. So it's, you don't have to repeat the story, the broken story, over and over and over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, ooh, we got another call.
Like if they don't of it, then that's all. Oh, well, how's this doing? And what's happened to that? You know, then you got to do all that explaining all over again.
Right. We got a caller. We got about a minute for 706-202. Go right ahead with your question or comment for Dr. Debbie. Introduce yourself to our listening.
I'm Alaikum and Grand Rising to Dr. Debbie. Excellent show. And it's very important that, you know, I just heard the last, what Debbie was just talking about, and the part that this is our culture has changed dramatically. That was something once upon a time that we didn't do. Grandma stayed in the house with the children because the newborn and the great-grandmother or grandmother are closer together than the parents. Is because one is getting ready to go back to the spirit world and one is just coming in from the spirit world. And they click. And see, the thing that we have done with our generation, especially with this technology, we've given up grandma and grandpa's lap time that, you know, they sat there and they put you on their lap and they told you and schooled you. Now you take your child and you give them a laptop. You don't give him that energy of connectedness of that elder. Because of that part of the elder is getting ready to become an ancestor. And this is very important that we have to look at this because we have young grandmothers now. We have young grandmothers, 30, 35, 40 years old. They're grandmothers. They ain't got time to be dealing with kids. I just got you. You're a teenager. You just went out there and made your mistake. So, you know, we all here together. It doesn't have the direction that we had once upon a time. And we're quick to give up because it's about an I, not a we. And there is no I and we. And I know they were talking about the consciousness. And James 1:8. Always says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that's the part that we have to understand is that mind that grew your body, but the other brain that's in the body is in the heart. The heart will never lie. And this is the part that we have to begin to understand is that it's what's in that heart. Grandma's heart, grandma's hands, as Bill Withers used to sing.
Grandma's hands, you're right. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Papa Kwame.
All right. Yeah,
I'll make sure I text
you
his. Yes, I'll make sure I text his number.
Because you're in Georgia, I need to come find you. Isn't he in Georgia?
Yeah, you're in Georgia.
I'm in
Eden.
I'm right here, right outside of Milledgeville. I'm in Edenton, where Alice Walker was born.
Well, I will make sure. And not everybody knows who it is, but I'll make sure that she has your phone number so you all
can
get in.
What area code are you
calling
in? Thank you so much for chiming in.
Thank you so much. We're about to go, and we want to get that last word from Dr. Debbie. Go right ahead.
All right. Regardless of where you find yourselves, you ask yourself a question. Am I really living, not existing, or surviving? How do I feel about my life and where I find myself at this particular time? Do I understand that my Creator created me for purpose? So ask yourself that. If you have to do it every single day, wake up and ask yourself, how do I want to live? You know, not based upon my past, not even being concerned about my future, staying in my now. You are worthy. You are loved. You should be loving yourself to the highest level of love, no matter what someone else says. So you stay empowered. Keep your head above water and keep your feet on the ground. God bless you.
All right. Yes.
Thank you. We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeong Kunyong. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jeret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.